We got a team. They show up.
Listen up, Umi. This is a podcast with the most Tucker. This is Forge the Narrative.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. We are the Battle of Lost Souls podcast, joined by Tanya Gates.
Hey, everybody.
And Red Powell.
What up?
What up? Adam Camilleri is not with us tonight. He is actually doing broadcasting from the WTC over on the War Games Live channel with Joe. Talk about an awesome pair for broadcasting. Go over there and please support them. Check them out. We miss him this week. He'll be back next week, hopefully. But you're going to see some impressive coverage from that event on that channel, and makes it even better when Adam's there.
It's got to be one of the most likable duos, you know? Joe is great. Adam's funny. I'm going to tune in.
Again, check that out on YouTube. We got some cool things to talk about this week. Tandy, you actually just pulled down a very prestigious award from a tournament.
I did, yeah. So for the very first time, I got a painting award. So I got the Favorite Army Award, which is Best Painted as picked by the event goers. So that was completely unexpected because I didn't even know that there was a painting award this year. So I didn't bring a display board, and I didn't actually set my models up for judging or anything like that. I was extremely shocked when I won that one.
Congratulations. That is awesome. I mean, we always talk about how cool your painting is. And people can see you on Instagram and other places as examples. They don't have to take our word for it.
I also know that my style is, it's not something for everybody, right? Because some people have a very definite vision of what Warhammer armies should look like. However, it's a style that I've been curating for myself for years now, and I'm very dedicated to it. So again, that's another reason why I'm always shocked when people actually like my work enough to vote for it in something like this. So very shocked and just really happy that I actually won something for once.
I mean, Player's Choice is awesome.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, honestly, I love your stuff. Which army was this?
This is my orcs.
Oh, okay. I'm still very happy for you, Tanya.
No, Red.
Listen, that took a lot, okay? I want you to understand. As much as I come on the show and talk about how much I hate the orc aesthetic, I have really appreciated your paint job and the blue that you've stood out with, and the fact that there's not predominantly yellow, because you understand that orcs and the color yellow is probably one of the most hated things I'll come across in this game. And, more power to everybody that is got the a yellow orc army, because you'll tilt me, right? You'll beat me before I even roll a die. So
it's like a mind game with you.
There's something about it. I can't beat it. As soon as I see orcs, and if someone yells wog and they've got an army of orcs and it's yellow, they can have it. I can't, I got nothing.
I will say that there were lots of orcs at this event. So there was woz happening all over the place. And I think everybody yelled it too. It wasn't just I'm going to wah now.
That's a good crowd.
That defeats me. They win. It's good.
Secret.
I mean, it's more power to them. Yeah, you can beat me. You call wog. Everyone wogs. I can't play. I'm done.
Noted.
I got some cool things to talk about. More about that. I want to hear about the list you took and the crowd at the event. I went to Gen Con this past weekend. I was able to do some cool experiences. I got to host demos, invite people to play Kill Team, Combat Patrol, and Blood Bowl, as well as the other a couple of event exclusive things that we had for Gen Con attendees at the Games Workshop side of things. Pretty awesome. Also went to the ATC, as you knew, a couple weeks ago. We didn't do that well.
But, I mean, you had a great time, I hope.
Absolutely did have a good time. Got to check out all the restaurants and stuff we wanted to check out. Even went to, a new place for us, anyway. So,
man, I'm so sorry I missed it. I wanted to be there. I would have loved to hang out with you guys.
I got to see your bro. So, what's up?
That's good. I'm sure he had a great time without me.
Maybe next year we roll in there with two teams and hopefully do a little bit better. But we can talk about that a little bit later on. So, Tanya, what did you end up bringing to this?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Let the roasting begin, I guess. So I brought Gaz with 5 Mega Knobs as his retinue. I brought a Mega Armored War Boss with another 5 Mega Knobs. And both of these units have dual or twin kill saws. And then I brought a Morkanaut and I brought a Gorkanaut. And I brought some bikes, bought 3 bikes. I brought a unit of 5 Storm Boys and a unit of Shooter Boys with a Big Mech with KFF. This list was made. Oh, and commandos. And this list was made exclusively so I didn't have to paint anything. I just looked at my shelf of painted stuff and I said, that looks cool.
That's okay.
That sounds like it punches really hard.
If it gets there, sure.
Sounds fun, though.
I mean, I did have a winning record with this list, which was shocking.
I mean, Tanya, I play World Eaters. If it gets there, it's like the entire premise of my army. I understand.
This list does really well against World Eaters.
I bet it does. I bet it just chomps them up. I can't imagine what I would do. I'd just be like, well, I guess you're going to walk and I'm just going to throw down.
The last time I played World Eaters with this list, I think I killed Angron like 3 times.
That's good. I mean, the fact that he came back twice is admirable. So I'll give it to him.
That sounds like a fun match to watch, though.
Yeah, it would be.
You said a winning record. Is it? What was the record? And what did you play against?
So I went 3-2. And what did I play against? I played against Blood Angels, which I lost.
Oh, at least we have that going for us.
I played against Orcs as well, but I lost that one. Because that was like a very infantry sort of horde, mechanized infantry horde style list. So I just could not get board control on that one. And then I got wins against Custodes, and Tyranids.
That's pretty good. I was giving you just joking around about the Blood Angels, but that's
That game was close. It was closer than it actually looked. So, and all of my opponents were really good. I had 5 amazing opponents. Got to hang out with friends. It really was just an amazing weekend for me. It was a really good way to start 10th edition. So, and now I'm excited and now I'm ready to like actually make, you know, maybe a decent orc list. So, starting to look at making some changes.
No, that's cool. Then like a tournament to inspire that. Like, oh, what do you need more of? What do you need a little bit less of?
I need less Gaz. That's what I need less of.
Some Big Macs in there to bring some of those Mega Knobs back?
So I actually, I have one waiting for me. So I ordered that actually before I even left for this tournament. And then I got back and it was like in the mail. So it's going to be my next, one of my next projects. I'm going to swap out the Shooter Boys for Beast Naga Boys as well.
Seems pretty solid. Keep us posted on how that's going and follow the progress shots that I'm sure you'll post on Instagram.
I've been really bad at posting lately, but I'm going to do my best.
You posted something on our FTN Facebook page. Notice of your victory there, but also like a champion Blood Angel like vest or whatever. That's all, Gen Con. I think it's so awesome.
Like, so you talked to the gentleman that was wearing said Blood Angels vest.
Well, I asked him politely if I could take a picture.
Oh, so you didn't ask him if he made it himself?
I didn't. I didn't get too deep. This is a very kind of hectic moment. I was doing a demo for Blood Bowl, and I saw that out of the corner of my eye. I'm like, I need to do this. Hang on a second, please. I'll be right back.
just because if the person made it, like, it's incredible. Like, I want to know the story behind it.
Yeah. Nice. So the ATC was again a couple of weeks ago, and the team, the Runway Kids, we did not do that well. I think that we were probably a little bit underprepared, which is one way of putting it. Well, I'll say not familiar necessarily with every army combination out there in reference to, you know, this edition, which was, you know, basically brand new still.
So when you say that, do you mean that that sort of like affected your pairings or what do you mean by that?
Well, I think we got solid pairings most of the way through. And even when we knew we were playing, you know, outmatched in a list, you can still play the game, you know, and get points and stuff. But not knowing just quite all the capabilities of every army out there. You know, I can also say that I played against Necrons a few times, and the first time I played against Necrons, I wasted some time trying to kill Lich Guard.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. It's a trap.
It really is a trap. Now, and I knew it was going to be difficult, but I honestly thought, I was like, well, go in there with a couple of tank shocks, with, you know, with Power Fist, you know, the gauntlets on knights, you know, and then do all the stuff in there. Of course I'm going to get through. And I can challenge, in actually, which I usually use the challenge precision stratagem a couple times. They just didn't capitalize on the hits at that point. Because you take out a couple of the characters, then they start to lose a lot of the reliability. And
gotcha.
I did not capitalize on that with my rolls, so that was. But I also think it's the right thing to do. If you're in that situation, remember that you've got that in your back pocket. I did not remember that. That particular tactic in my back pocket the first time I went on to play Necrons two more times, and of course knew all this, so you know, the second and third game, you know, could have gone,
just kept matching into them, huh?
Could have gone much better. Well, I mean, when you can take something out from somebody else and hopefully the rest of the team gets better, you know, or has better matchups, you know, it's all good. In this case though, you know, it was, you know, there probably could have been a better choice. And also, you know, being familiar with the army, and of course your army is also something that helps. And I think that we kind of zigged when we should have zagged a bit, and just didn't do as well as we would normally have done. But that's okay. You know, I certainly had a great time hanging out with buddies and seeing people, you know, that you don't see quite as often as you want to, and then doing cool stuff around the city in the evenings. Cool stuff, I mean, going and eating stuff.
All right, what did you eat?
Well, we went to that taco place, and we went to a place called Tupelo Honey, which is, I think it might be a chain, but if it is, it's kind of like a higher end chain. It's nice, very very good food. And went to a place called Champy's Chicken. That's where we went there last year, Red.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right.
It is I don't want to say it's not a lower end. It's got good food, but it's a kind of a like a tongue in cheek vibe. They've got a bunch of 40-ounce koozies all over the restaurant that you can ride on and borrow for your own 40 ounces you can purchase there if you want. I did not do that this time. But
not this time.
I did get some good chicken fingers, and they have cool appetizers and stuff. But anyway, it was a fun time. In one of my games, though, or one of the games we played against, there were some interesting like takes on 40K.
Oh, I feel like that might be like a euphemism, maybe.
I don't know. I don't look. I'm not saying anything about the intent of the players or whatever. But you know, there was especially also in ATC. Sometimes there's a little bit of borrow hammer that exists, and so people are not maybe using their models and stuff. But I will say one of the criteria of the event is you're supposed to bring the models on whatever base sizes that is they're currently released at. So even if you had older models, you can use the older models. You should still mount them on newer bases. And we played some players that were using older models on the older bases, or in some cases like Soul Grinders that now come with 160 millimeter round bases with no bases, and Demonic Chariots with old chariot bases from the old world and smaller greater demons, and it creates a bit of a problem with the physics of the game today. Now, it's in when you're playing, let's say, for no stakes, you don't have a conversation, you don't have to, you know, you don't have the conversation of that model shouldn't be here, so it can't be on the table. We're going to, especially not a team like ours either, we're going to let you roll with it and play with it. You know, but I think that I don't think you should do that, especially in a match play event, an organized play event, like a tournament. I don't think you should do that. I think you should make all attempts to modernize your bases and understand that the physics matters at a tournament, because it does. We play a game where you have to be precise with measurements, and terrain is a thing, and what can move and in and around and through terrain affects what is more functional at those events. And so if you plan on playing competitively, you're going to be in a situation to where you're playing someone who has made choices about what they bring or what they don't bring based on those real factors in the game, such as I wanted to bring three Bane Blades, but I knew that driving three Bane Blades around the event would be problematic, so I went with something else.
Maybe there's people listening who don't know, like, the kinds of things that would be an issue. So, like, one of the things would be if you're on a smaller base, your opponent is going to be able to get less things into combat with you, like less of their models can actually fight you in close combat. So some people would say that that is potentially modeling for advantage.
That is right. And also piling into things, like if you're a tall model and you're trying to pile into a unit that's tucked into the corner of a ruin or whatever, but because you don't have a base or whatever, you can just scoot in there. There's all kind of stuff that can come up. You know, it's a real thing and a real choice that matters. And so again, more of just an awareness of of like what you, and if you for some reason can't get the right base sizes, I think that you should make an effort to explain to your opponent that you're going to respect what they should be and make attempts at least trying to get them in the right proportions or right spots or have some grace when they're determining what can attack you or where you can fit. That is one thing. It kind of sticks with me because, again, I spend a lot of time before the events making sure my stuff's on the right basis. Heck, you know, I've been going through this whole rebase project for my Astra Militarum to get him on modern bases and make him look cool at the same time.
Yeah, and I think it's actually not that difficult to actually check to make sure if your stuff is on the right base. Like, it's all right there on the Games Workshop website. You just basically go to the web store, you search for the model in question, and then in the description of what comes in the box, it actually tells you the exact base that it's supposed to be on.
You are
exactly
right.
It's pretty easy to check. So sometimes it's good just to do that every once in a while.
I've found one, and I'm sure there are more, but I found one unit description where it does not give you the full picture, and that's in the Guardians. It doesn't tell you that the weapon platform is on a 40mm base.
We should all write an email. I'm just joking.
I'm just saying
we don't all need to write an email.
Most of the information you need, especially if you're playing with like an older model, is on there. And the same thing, our Wraith Guard that we were putting together, we're using older Wraith Guard, but put them on new bases. So the old 25s or whatever they came with. Because you want to talk about the feel bads that would have occurred when you have 10 Wraith Guard crammed in the corner of a ruin or something like that.
Yep.
Look, I mean, these are just things that, and I don't think that these players wanted to create those situations either. But I'm saying that you do create those situations when you are playing in that type of environment and don't have that. That's all I'm saying. So there's one of the things. But we were playing for no stakes and didn't matter or whatever, and played the games I'm not saying the demeanor should necessarily change with whatever the stakes are, but, you know, rules in an event are rules in an event. Like, the rules in the rule book are rules in the rule book. And, you know, when we play a cooperative game, you can, sometimes come to consensus with your opponent with whatever things should be happening, I guess. But it was still, again, I had a blast. This is the second year they've been in this hall, which is the Marriott Convention Center, and it's a really nice space, and the hotels and the restaurants in the area are way better than it was at the 4-H camp or whatever it was. But I will say there were some big storms that came through the night before and shorted out the air conditioner that night. And
oh, you guys too?
Yeah, they didn't get it remedied before the first round, and so we are playing round one in an actual sauna.
My event this weekend, it was really hot and we didn't have an air conditioner either, so everybody is like a lot of the dudes are like just playing shirtless, which I totally understand. And yeah, it was a sweat box. It was very smelly with a bunch of nerds playing Warhammer, but like legitimately it was just hot.
I do not play well when I'm above 83 degrees or whatever. I don't know. I can't, the brain doesn't work as well. I can't even, that's about the best way to describe it. I just can't even.
I usually do okay. Where I live, it's like it's hot in the summer, and I don't have the greatest air conditioning in my house, so like I do okay. But there were definitely some people who were struggling that first day with how hot it was. It rained a little bit, I think, overnight, so it was like a little cooler the second day, but whew, She was toasty.
Yeah. Thankfully, though, round two started to get more reasonable, and then the rest of the whole weekend was very comfortable. And the event couldn't help that either. It's not like they could have done anything.
No.
You know, about that. So it was a fabulous event. I highly suggest people check it out for the next year if you are curious about going. It is a 5-person team event put on by some of the best people in Warhammer 40,000.
What was the hobby like?
So better than I anticipated.
Okay.
I did,
because this tends to be quite a competitive event, right?
Well, even worse with this, and I'll say that they relaxed the hobby requirement. So there was no hobby requirement other than things being on the right bases and assembled and not like 3D printed stuff and that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
Or using counts as models from a different range or something. Like they had rules on what the model could be, but it did not have to be painted, it did not have to be primed. And I really expected just to be seas of gray. And there were, for Gene Shielder cults, several seas of gray armies.
See, that just feels extra bad when you lose to Gene Stealer Cult right now, because you're like, you couldn't have even made it look pretty.
I agree with you, and I did expect to see more of the more players, you know, doing that, but it didn't happen to the scale that I thought I was going to. It was actually very minimal, so that side of it was pretty good. I mean, most tournament players, even at the core, yeah, we want to win some games, but we also want to show off our cool stuff. You know, we want to like show what our armies are like.
I mean, that's basically the only reason why I go to events, that and like hanging out with friends. I am not the greatest player.
We've talked about this too with the ATC. You kind of got to get used to losing some games. You might be in a position to where you are supposed to. Well, it's great if you win, but you know your team expects you to take some L's, or at least have some hard matchups. And you know, it's part of the fun. I did have a blast. It is really cool being in a room where there are that many people playing Warhammer. And they also have Age of Sigmar and some other events too. There was even some like Star Wars stuff, just excellently painted terrain. And
I will say, every time that I've seen like competitive Star Wars Legion being played, I've always been wowed by the terrain.
Yeah, maybe it's because there's some toys that are the right scale, and so it's easier to get some of the stuff.
Maybe. Because I know when I was walking around at Las Vegas Open, I'm just going to straight up say it, like the terrain at the Star Wars Legion tables was the best of the entire event. Everything was like beautiful and thematic. There was like they took different places within the Star Wars universe that are like quite memorable and like made entire terrain boards that sort of like immersed you in that. And I was like, just absolutely blown away.
That's really cool. And the terrain on the 40K side of here was good too. Now they use a lot of MDF and some other types of terrain. And they mentioned that they were going to use the US Open Series Games Workshop tournament terrain format. And I was a little bit skeptical of it. I'm like, well, I've seen your terrain and I don't know that you can pull that off. But I was completely wrong. And that goes back to talk about, you know, not only are they some of the best people in 40K, you know, if they tell you they're going to do something, they're going to do it.
Nice.
And all the tables were set up in that exact configuration. There may have been like one or two tables, you know, in every row of, you know, 30 tables, there might have been the height of each building might not be consistent, but the layout of everything was consistent, and it was awesome. And again, they put on a great event that is largely player focused. Like the event was basically made for teams and clubs to come and do something cool and mimic the team format here in America. And they delivered, and I encourage people to do it year on year. And if you're going to do it, start playing your team now, or at least planning who you might pick his teammates to go, because as we know, team tournaments can be a challenge all to themselves.
Is it hard to get like everybody to show up to the darn thing?
It can be. It really can be. Now I'll tell you, you know, I got a team, you know, of we've been doing this for a long time, so they kind of, now you know you can count on them. This has to be some type of like life event that keeps them away if they can't be there. But we got a team, they show up, one guy's on the team, he prints all of our army rosters, everybody shows up with the models they said they were going to bring, you know, even if for you, like they'll bring you models, we bring, you know, like, because there's a little bit of Barhammer in this, you know. We got a great team, And part of that greatness is everyone showing up and doing everything they said they were going to do. But it's I don't want to say it's uncommon. It's not necessarily uncommon, but that's part of the trick is actually making it to the event on time with your entire team.
Yep.
There have been challenges in years past, you know, with different team members and stuff. But now we're at the point where, you know, if somebody doesn't make it, they have a good excuse or a reason. I shouldn't say excuse, reason. Let's take a quick break. Then we'll come back. We'll talk about a little bit about Gen Con and other things we've been up to. We'll see you.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games, Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
Everybody, we are back. Thank you very much for checking out our sponsors. And also, thanks to the Patreon and everyone's on the Patreon. It's, again, this what one of the reasons we can do this and get the show edited and improve some of the quality and stuff and free up some time for us, you know, and that kind of thing. It means a whole lot. Thank you very much. I'm not done passing out thank yous, though. I got to say some thank yous to the folks that came by the Games Workshop booth this past weekend while I was at Gen Con and said they liked the show. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, the people came up and, you know, they'd hear the voice, you know, and like, hey. Like, hey, I'm very happy to see them. Probably happier to see them, you know. It's like, it's so cool that they stopped to say something. And, of course, you know, pass along, you know, what's up to y'all. And, you know, say they're really digging the show. And that means a whole lot. So,
aw, that's so sweet.
Yep. So Gen Con is in Indianapolis and basically takes over the Indiana Convention Center right there in the center of the city. And tons and tons and tons of game companies come to either reveal or promo or, you know, just get people exposed to their board games. And the last several years, Games Workshop has been going. Real nice booth. Cool things to see. Like, you can see the full-size Terminator there and full-size Primary Space Marine out in the open gaming area. And, you know, basically there's some event exclusive things. The same event exclusives at the U.S. events, the store there, you can get at events like Gen Con when the store is there. So something to keep in mind if you're trying to get some cool objective markers or one of the event-only miniatures or something like that. And Games Workshop did a couple of new things for Gen Con. We actually did a run-through of a Space Hulk scenario using the McFarlane toys.
Oh, what?
Yeah. You could basically play. Now, these are not official games at all. Not in the slightest. Like, this is just something fun to do. But it was something that people would enjoy doing. They come up and they get to play the action figures and run around killing a bunch of gene stealers. Try not to get killed by said gene stealers.
And please tell me people were making the pew-pew sounds.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
And we also did like a bit of a dungeon crawl type experience using the kill team rules.
What, like a LARP?
Well, sort of. You're more of like a Hero Quest type game. So you're playing. Everyone starts as like a base level, like Guardsman or Imperial Breacher or something like that. And you're breaching a Space Hulk and you're going through rooms. And the rooms, we generate random scenarios to what you fight in that room. And you would get loot for fighting in the room. And you basically play through until you die. And then if you wanted to play again, you could bring all your loot that you got in the last run through to come and play in this run through. And so eventually,
cool,
you know, wander through the Space Hulk and be able to like fight boss monsters and that kind of stuff.
Wow.
It's fun. Very fun. I mean, it's, you know, right. That was, again, that's not an official thing. That was something that they were doing only for Gen Con and for Gen Con attendees. And, you know, what it did, help get some Gen Con attendees hands on Warhammer miniatures, doing some fun things, and they can bring that loot back to the next time that game's there. Hopefully there's a next time. So it's something to keep leveling up.
Yeah, that's so cool. So were there people who had never experienced Warhammer IP before?
Yep. Yep. A whole lot of those.
And what was their experience like that you could tell?
So in this thing, it you know, you get the same questions. Wait, I got to paint these? But in general, though, they really loved the experience. Like, you had to kind of get, you know, if you were into that type of experience, they loved that type of experience. And mm-hmm. I will say also, I was in the booth doing demos of Blood Bowl, Kill Team, and also Combat Patrol, the Combat Patrol format that's supported with the new edition of Warhammer 40,000. And
yeah, what'd you think of that?
It's cool. I mean, it's, you know, where you have a box that has a collection of figures in there, models in there, and you build them, and they're designed to fight against other boxes, other Combat Patrol boxes.
Sure, yeah.
And they've got little special rules that help even out the matchups.
That's cool.
Yeah, and some people had never played a game of Warhammer at all, ever, you know, and they want to come and see what it was about. So walk them through, you know, a very animated Combat Patrol demo.
Animated how?
Well, you know, you got to get into it. You got to make the... I was doing Chaos Demons, the Khorne box set, versus the Tau. And it was about 50-50 about which faction would win out. We wouldn't play a whole game during the demo, but we'd run through a couple of turns using objectives on the table. And you explain the idea of how, you know, largely that this is a scenario type game, so you're not just wiping out one side or the other. You're actually playing four things, and how you accomplish that. Some players get real, you know, strategic about it, and be cool to see them, watch them enact those plans and enjoy moving the models around and then rolling dice. Yeah, it was awesome. Same with Kill Team. Like, people would, the way those demos worked is they were ticketed events. You had to register to be at the demo and then come to the demo, and everyone would always show up. And I was running maybe about 30, 45 minute demos. And if someone that didn't have a ticket came up and wanted to do a demo, I would just kind of ask, can you like come back in like 10 minutes and we'll do something before the next set of demos shows up. Yeah. And they always did it. They always came back to play. It was very nice. And that was on all systems, Blood Bowl and Kill Team. And then we were doing Combat Patrol as well. Everyone would, you know, very respectfully come back at whatever time they were supposed to, or any time I mentioned to them, and want to do it. And that's kind of how compelling Warhammer is right now. And then, you know, getting their hands on these awesome models. It's fun to do.
That's sweet.
So you've been doing these kind of demos for a while now. Do you see their popularity kind of increasing over time?
It's consistent, you know, with the fact that people have to get the tickets and then they show up to do it. So at least at the Gen Con side. Is it getting more popular? I'll tell you, that booth was always slammed.
Excellent.
Which is cool. Yeah. So lots of people getting into Warhammer, and you can tell they were getting into Warhammer for probably the first time. Had a lot of questions about, you know, where should I start? What should I get? And when, like, even at the kill team level, like, how do I get all the Kill Team stuff I need to play right now? You know, what do I need to play? And, you know, or how can I, what can my buddy and I split here to get going when we get back home? A whole lot of those kind of questions. Same with Blood Bowl. You know, I will say sometimes at Blood Bowl, when you're doing the Blood Bowl demos, you get a bunch of folks come up and go, I got Blood Bowl at home. I've been playing Blood Bowl for 30 years. And but that's also one of the coolest things about Blood Bowl. Is that, you know, when I'm like, my part of my pitch is this game has stood the test of time. It's an amazing game. There have been very few changes in it and revisions on this game since its inception. And once you have a team and a pitch, you basically can play like a board game experience or a campaign experience.
All my friends who play Blood Bowl are like absolutely obsessed with it and are very adamant about regularly asking me if I've changed my mind about wanting to play it or not.
It's a great game. Look, I'm not saying that, you know, get into it. There's some elements to it that are just, you know, they become like classic, if you ask me, such as, you know, how you throw a block, how you do a tackle in that game is you basically compare your strength to your opponent's strength and roll some dice. You can roll more dice if you're stronger. You roll more dice if you're weaker too, but who picks the die is based on who's stronger. And sometimes you roll the three bad results and you have to pick to mess yourself up. Every Blood Bowl player has that story. And, you know, it happens. Even the demo games, it happens. What I mentioned when we're talking about 40K is that we play the game where the unlikely happens quite frequently. And that's why we roll the dice, these vicious fate cubes.
I had an opponent this weekend who is a little bit newer. And, he wasn't rolling like the one pistol shot against like, you know, the high toughness things or whatever, but I just kept saying like, you know, a wound is a wound, a shot is a shot. And it's a dice game. Like, you can roll sixes. Like, you might as well just like put everything you have in. And you know, that really does happen. Like, Tau Fire Warrior or whatever, like, took a wound off of one of the knots. There you go. Wound is a wound.
Gotta believe.
That's right.
That is hilarious. So it was a fabulous Gen Con and lots of people there. I think it might have been their highest attendance to date.
That's awesome.
Tabulating numbers at the con itself. And, you know, I saw lots of cool board games, lots of cool card games. I got a card game to bring home to the family to play.
Sweet.
Called Steal the Bacon. It's one of those card games to where there's a card element and a physical element to it. Like when certain cards come up, you have to do something physical, like a gesture of some kind or whatever.
All right.
And then do something else to score your points. And me, the wife, and the youngest get a kick out of that stuff.
Have you ever played Throw Avocado?
No.
Oh, if you like games where you have to like play cards and then get up and do stuff, you got to try Throw Avocado.
All right. Put that on the list. Check it out. And then hanging out. And basically, you probably still hear it in my voice. I got to talk about Warhammer all weekend. This was yesterday is when I got back. So at the time of this recording, I got back yesterday. And, you know, the roar of the crowds, the enthusiasm from everyone was very cool to experience and see. And, you know, seeing people get some cool things, people come up and talk about their Warhammer experiences, which I love. I actually love that when people want to come up and I'll talk about how they get into Warhammer, what they're playing now, what they're working on. You know, that's the cool stuff, you know, and then get to kind of teach people how to play a little bit.
I love teaching people how to play. I've got so we're doing a Escalation League for Age of Sigmar in my local store. And I'm going to do a little like learn to play seminar on Thursday. I'm really excited for it because I love teaching new players. And I feel like if you get started with a really good teacher, it sets you off with like a great foundation to enjoy the game. So
you want to know what one of my favorite teaching methods is?
Oh, good.
Oh, no.
Trauma.
One breath. Oh,
The burn hand learns best.
I mean, I'm just saying, sometimes you got to experience a little pain to understand you shouldn't do that again.
I disagree. I think maybe once you get to a certain point, that works. But I think when you're just starting out, most people are probably going to respond a little bit better to like maybe a more chill time than that.
You got to, you know, help them brace for it, look forward to it. And there's all sorts of fun ways to go about it. Trust me, it works out well. It gets there.
I mean, for me, I will say that like now that I have like a firm foundation in Warhammer, because I mostly play with people who are way better and more experienced than I am. So when they like offer me a take backseat when I've done something that's a tactical blunder, I will often play it out because I need to like see that blunder in action. And then it kind of gives me the opportunity to try to like play from behind to try and like fix or offset that blunder. So, I mean, I do see where you're coming from.
I agree. It's not the only way. Yeah. I won't pigeonhole it like that. There's a lot of good to be done in how you approach it. And not everybody's the same. A lot of different learning methods out there. And I do agree, like, you know, I think that's what's awesome about the different gaming environments that are out there and Gen Con offering the opportunity, Paul, for you to help teach people and bring them along. And Tanya, how you're describing, you know, how you would prefer to teach and be taught, I think is important for a lot of people out there in their communities to understand that not everybody's going to want to learn, you know, the way I favor to teach and learn.
I'm just teaching core concepts, not how to win. You know,
exactly.
One of the neatest things also when people were starting to get into it, you know, after you've taught them, you've played through like half a round, they're like, oh man, I can move over here and I can do this. I really need to be looking at this. Like, yeah, man, you're getting it.
Tactics.
Love it when they see it that way. Yeah, but that's just my side of it. But then just getting their hands on the models for the first time. It's a different experience than when you're trying to get better at the game.
Sure.
But I do think those kind of seeing the ramification of your and I'm using air quotes here, the blunder that you were talking about, because you know it may seem like the right thing to do at the time, and then learning why it might not have been the most audible thing and seeing it like all play out, maybe that is one way.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Like I just have a hard time learning. So in those instances, it's just better for me to see it, because that's just another way to solidify the concept in my brain, because I do a lot of reading and studying before games, and I ask lots of questions, and when I'm in a learning game with my mentor or other people who are better players than me, I quite often will like talk out my thought process while I'm going. So these are all like learning tools that I have, and like actually like following through with the blunder is just like another way to sort of learn that process, you know.
Who knows, next turn you might be able to dig yourself out, and that's also an important learning thing.
I think a lot of new players especially really struggle with losing models.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like, you might lose, like, just chaff, even, you know, a trash unit. And sometimes as a new player, you take it kind of harder than you should. So sometimes, you know, not intentionally, but, like, mindfully losing those models in that moment, that teaching moment, it kind of softens the blow later on as you're, you know, a little bit more experienced.
That's what I do like. You know, it's kind of built into World Eaters, and I know they're not by any means the favorite or you know, super out there meta faction by any means, but they do have a concept where when you lose a model, you do gain a benefit from it, and it really helps kind of soften that blow of, oh, I just lost something. Maybe. I lost it. I can keep
blood
going.
Blood point or something, whatever you call them these days.
I don't even get that, unfortunately. I just appreciate the fact that it happens now.
Red, you would also be very excited to hear. So my ITC team captain plays World Eaters as well. And he was kind of like struggling because, you know, it's a bit of a struggle with them right now. And he took some inspiration from your list at the Lone Star Open. And he went into this weekend thinking, man, I'm not going to win any games at all. And then he also came out with a winning record of 3-2.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So I just thought that you would like to hear that, you know, people are seeing your success and using some of your ideas to up their game as well.
That's awesome. I'm glad for him. I can understand it's something that people, the internet and the meta out there does a good job of saying what's doing really well right now. And I think it kind of struggles in some regards with acknowledging that it's not the only way to enjoy the game. And I hope everybody's able to get out there and enjoy the way, in a lot of ways, that they want to play the game without having to just constantly copy other stuff out there.
That's a segment we have not done in a while is taking some listener submissions about lists that they want to have work, you know, like this is my collection of models. How can I play with it and do, you know, as well as I can? That's something we haven't done in a while. It might be something cool to revisit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also want to say that I'm really quite proud of my team. So we're called Team Participant because, you know, we show up and we try hard and, like, normally we, you know, end with the participation ribbon, but it was just super cool this weekend because not only did I get best painted, but one of my teammates took the whole event and went 5 wins and no losses. And so go Team Participant.
This is y'all's addition.
Apparently. And like, we always go, like, as a team, our mission is for everybody to try and get best sports, which we didn't get this time. Normally Graham does pretty well in that regard. It was just kind of cool to actually walk home with 2 awards in the crew. So that was really cool.
Congratulations to y'all. That is pretty spectacular. I mean, especially with the event, you know, things are starting to solidify. We know what the quote unquote meta is looking like out there right now. But that gives opportunities for folks to be able to play into it with things that can do well against what they expect to play. And now you can kind of make a roadmap of what you really do expect to play over the next couple of tournaments, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
totally.
I think that's going to be our show for this week. We're about halfway through season 2.
Dang, already?
No, it's like, which
halfway.
What?
Man. Almost there. I think this is episode 4 of season 2.
Time flies.
Yeah, it does. There'll be another episode coming soon. What's coming up? So coming up in a few weeks, got the Nova Open. I may even have on a buddy who's helping be part of the event, talk about the event, Nova Open, and all the new things they're doing this year. If you're not familiar with what they do, I went last year, had an amazing time. Did some live streaming. Probably going to do the same thing this year. Keep your eyes peeled. We'll be back with another episode, hopefully next week or the week after. Y'all working on anything like hobby-wise in between?
So I'm just finishing up a Neuro Tyrant that I'm painting for Alex McDougall. And I always like to paint models for him because then, at you know, something that I have painted will end up at a top table eventually. So it's looking cool. I think I'm going to finish it tomorrow and his little buddies.
Ray, what about you?
I am just continuing to work on my World Eaters. As I wish, between work and all, I wish I'd been able to get more at it. And so I owe the my you know, because I used to have 120, right? Well, I still do. And they're all in Black Legion black. And I had gone to Lone Star Open wanting to deliver on 40 new, brand new Berserkers, and I still have work to do on them. So I will continue. I will not relent. So I'm looking forward to continuing to get them to where I want them to be for the tabletop.
A good buddy of mine came to me and said, I want to work on a new list, and it's for Ultramarines. And so I see myself helping out with that. I may be painting some Ultramarines pretty soon for my buddy, not for me to use.
You're going to paint an entire army for him?
I've painted entire armies for several people. I don't mind doing it. I really don't. I don't mind. Well, it depends.
Wow.
You know, on the time. You know, like, do you need this tomorrow? That's probably not happening. If you need, you know, a unit every now and then, we'll figure something out.
All right. Yeah, like I'll paint a unit for Alex every once in a while. I'm not painting his whole army.
I don't mind. I look at it as a challenge. Like, it takes me. Like, I'm event oriented, you know, and so I don't paint for myself quite as often as I want to without that inspiration, but I feel better painting for other people sometimes, and I'll do it more frequently. So it keeps me my practice up and going. And then when I have my paints out, well, I got my paints out now, I might as well go ahead and paint some for myself, you know. Character model or a knight or something.
Well, you are a solid friend, Paul Murphy, because there ain't no way I'm painting an entire army for somebody.
Oh.
So nobody come into my DMs and ask, because it's not going to happen.
Maybe very, very elite armies, you know, only. It wouldn't be. Tyranid army, no thank you. It's orcs, old-blooded. Nope.
I mean, you did Necrons. You did, yeah. Necrons. That was pretty intense.
Yeah. I got a good scheme down, like, or at least a repeatable scheme. That's what sure. helped with the Necrons. But we'll see if you paint Necrons again soon, too, with my youngest.
Still
got it. Still, yeah, we'll see. Still got
Can't
the
stop, won't stop.
Yeah. All right, folks. Well, that is it. We will see y'all soon. Thanks for listening. Please leave us those 5-star reviews. Maybe consider supporting us on Patreon if you haven't already. You know, that's the kind of thing to keep us going. Check out our sponsors. And we'll be back next week. We'll see y'all.
See ya.
Bye, everybody. Buy a t-shirt.
Dang.
What they said, but I already subscribed. You better do it too.